This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You're listening to She Well Read.
Get ready to be part of a community that is dedicated to helping you become the most well-read version of yourself through reading.
On this show, we hope to bring people together through shared experiences and provide a platform that promotes reading as a source of self-care while increasing your knowledge on various topics.
Thanks for being here, and let's get on to the show.
All right.
Oh.
Hello.
Welcome back, well-read baddies. We are back in the studio after me being down with COVID and life just being trash at the moment. It was a lot happening all at one time and back to back.
Back to back to
like,
back.
Like, no breaks.
Life said, here you go.
Yeah, she said, I'm here.
Yeah, it's like you're eating and it's still trying to shove more food into your mouth. That's what life has felt like this couple
weeks.
Yeah.
I was about to say days. No.
It feels like weeks. It feels like years.
Yeah, it does. It does feel like years, not even weeks.
I know. I saw you not that long ago, but I'm like, Lana, what's going on?
I know. It's like, hello?
I don't even.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Okay, I'm good too.
We're out the mud.
Yes.
Y'all already know what I'm about to do. Shout out Corner. Follow us everywhere at She Well Read. Stream our YouTube. Don't let us be paying for this for nothing. Give us some views. Leave a comment, please. What else? Socials everywhere. She Well Read. She Well Read. Just said that. Bookshop. T-shirts. Partnerships. Email us. SheWellRead@gmail.com. All the things.
Yep.
And scary stories so that we can give you nightmares in October.
I know. People are excited about the scary stories.
I know. I'm excited about the scary stories.
Well, you know, I was like, I'm not that into like getting scared.
I mean, I like creepy stories.
Okay.
Like
I do a good
thriller.
But it's like, it wasn't something I thought would take off. But people really seem to like the scary stories.
Given a good scary story during Halloween, like, you love to
see it.
It's
just the vibe.
It's the vibes of the season. So send us your scary stories that you want us to read during Halloween time. And share this episode with a friend. Leave us a review on Spotify and Apple because it does help us. I think that's all the things.
Yeah.
Let's get into the coffee break. So today y'all gonna see me struggling because this fancy Apple mouse is what I'm using to scroll through our notes, and I'm like,
she's
struggling.
Getting adjusted.
I feel like a boomer right now with technology. Okay, Spotify enhanced playlist. So I want to talk about this because I don't think it's very new also.
Yeah, but, I don't know about this.
Okay, so basically when you go to a playlist you've made on Spotify now, there's this new button when you go to press shuffle where it's like enhance. Oh. So it's like Spotify will curate other similar songs that are in that playlist.
Oh,
and like,
that's cool.
Make it flow to where it's, I don't know. It just, I hit it the other day because I was like, I was getting tired of my music. Yeah. Already, like, I was like, I'm tired of this playlist. Like, I need new things. Like, even my daily mix, I was getting tired of those too because I was like, these are the same songs over and over and over again.
It'd be like that.
And so I enhanced it and I found so many new songs that I would not have heard of otherwise. And
really?
I was like, more people need to know about this new feature. I don't know how new it is or what the rollout is, but it's a 10 out of 10 feature. It's Spotify, you did that.
I have to look because I haven't seen that.
It's really good. I like it. And just Spotify supremacy again. Sorry to you, Apple Music people.
We're going to make some people mad.
And I just feel like Spotify is just so much more user friendly.
I agree. 100%.
I used to have it. I used to have both because being a student, you got all this shit for like free or like super cheap.
That's true.
So, but I just never could get with it.
Yeah, it was like, I remember I would go back and forth because I'd be like, oh, some of my friends are on this platform, some of my friends are on this platform.
And like sharing in playlists and whatever.
Like if you send a song, they can't even play it. So I was so like depending on who I was dating or seeing at the time, I'd be like, oh, now I'm here. And every time I went to Apple Music, it took me so long to get adjusted. Once I was adjusted, I was like, okay, I'm starting to kind of fuck with you, but... Overall, I just like it's just like what I grew up on is Spotify.
What I grew up on.
Even though I definitely paid for Apple Music back in the day.
And that's okay. I did too. Yeah. I think I paid for like a month though, and then I was like, I don't use this. I don't like it.
Well,
I'm going back to Spotify.
I say Apple Music, but you know what I mean? Like when it was $129 when we were buying singles.
Yeah. Oh, like you're talking about old school iTunes days.
iTunes.
Yeah.
So to me, that was my Apple Music.
No, I think that was everyone's Apple Music. Spotify might have been around, but like I didn't hear about Spotify until I got to college. So
I think I had it in high school. I don't know.
Yeah. Either way, check that out if you have Spotify. Next topic: Halle Bailey. Have you seen the new Little Mermaid trailer?
I didn't see the whole trailer. I just saw that one little part, but maybe that was the entire trailer.
Well, it's like
it was short.
Yeah, it was short.
Like a teaser.
It's a teaser trailer.
Okay, I saw that. Mm-hmm. And she looks beautiful.
She looks so freaking good. Like in the moment she started singing, I literal chills.
Oh my God.
I am so excited.
Ariel's like, my favorite princess.
Is she really? I didn't know that. Cinderella's mine.
Aww.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah, but I can see that. That makes sense.
Yeah, but I love me some Ariel too, so I'm really excited. But I wanted to talk about, and you might not have seen this if you haven't been on TikTok since the new trailer dropped or whatever, but it's all these people talking about how obviously we knew there was going to be controversy because she's black.
Yeah.
But the new like complaint is that her hair isn't red enough and they're not sticking with the original story. And
Right. I've been seeing a lot of like nonsense like that too.
Nonsense. That's what it is.
I'm just like, baby, it's a fairy tale.
It's not even real.
It's literally up to your own interpretation.
Right. And that's the greatest thing about fairy tales.
Yeah.
You can make it to be whatever you want it to be.
Use your imagination. Change her hair in your mind.
Right. But
do what you want. Watch the old one.
Right. Like, okay, then don't watch it.
Yeah.
Like,
do you know how many white princesses we sat through? Talking about their hair is too yellow. No one said nothing.
Right.
Because it's not a problem.
It's not. They're just making it a problem because they're trying to avoid being like, my real issue is that she's black. And so they're going to complain about the hair instead.
How many things can you use as excuses?
I'm just like,
just
when do you get
you're
tired?
Just say you're hateful and be done with it.
BFF. Be fucking for real.
Be for real. Just be honest. Be like, if you have a problem with her dreads, say that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fire.
I think it is. It's literally, there's been so many reaction videos of these parents recording their young black children watching the trailer for the first. I've been like bawling on all of them because they're just like, oh, she's
so
black.
Sweet.
She looks like me. She's so pretty. And I'm just like, Yes, she does. Which again is why representation is so important in like everything.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to go watch it. I will be dressing up. I will be doing the most
as
at
what?
The premiere.
Like as Ariel?
I don't know.
The crowd, like, hello. What are you doing?
I don't know. I just like I feel like being extra. I don't know what it's gonna be.
Period.
What I'm gonna. If y'all have any ideas, maybe I'll cosplay
she
a little bit.
She doesn't even know.
I don't know,
she
but
just
it's happening.
Knows it's happening,
and that's all I need to know.
I mean, that's on period. Well, just let me know what I'm supposed to dress up as, and I'll get myself together. Okay.
I'm so weak.
Speaking of dressing up, this isn't on the coffee break bullet points.
Oh, not you going off script.
I'm going off script, y'all.
Come closer to your mic.
Oh. Hey. Have you thought about a Halloween outfit? Yes. Really?
Yes. Girl, it's done. It's decided.
Are you going to expose it or you want to keep it a secret?
No, I'll expose it.
Tell us.
I've been talking about doing this for years at this point, and okay. I'm finally going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to be the mom from Mean Girls.
You...
In a pink velour tracksuit.
This is so you. Wait. And you get to wear a tracksuit. Please.
I literally, please. I saw someone wearing it on TikTok and I was like, that's my costume.
That's going to be fire.
And I'm going to get With the little camcorder.
Bitch.
I'm so excited. And because here's the thing about Halloween. And I feel like I'm doing a Mean Girls quote right now. It's every girl's excuse to dress up like a slut.
Yeah, I was about to say, is she going into that quote about the Halloween and the slut and the Mean Girls?
It's like every girl's excuse.
That's true, though.
And which I love.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that any day. But, you know, Halloween, it's like, expected. Right. And it's hot. But it's hot. The thing is, the temperature is not hot. It's freezing outside. Oh, and so I'm always like, I want to be a sexy whatever, but every I'm going to freeze my ass off.
Every fucking year.
And as Cardi B would say, a hoe never gets cold, but this hoe does.
That's why I can't even call myself a hoe no more, because I get cold.
I get cold.
I'm freezing.
A hoe does get cold.
Yeah,
and that's
I got
okay.
I know, but.
Did I get it right? No, I don't.
35%. So the other side of that, 75% of the day, I'm cold.
You're cold.
Yeah.
But so I was like, this is my perfect excuse to wear a costume with long sleeves and I'm covered. But I can still be cute though.
I love that. I'm excited. An option where you can wear like a little hoodie or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like still have like a little, like a white tank.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Ooh, that's going to be hot.
I'm excited. I'm super excited. Okay, but back to the Halle Bailey being Ariel.
Oh,
I saw this one TikTok though. It was a white guy, and he was like, "Y'all are getting mad at this, but y'all weren't mad when they redid Jesus. Like Jesus is not white; he is brown.
Ooh.
So it's like y'all love. So anywho,
it's the contradiction.
The contradiction for me.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's...
whatever. We're going to support our black Ariel, our black princess. Period.
I love it.
Okay, another one that's on TikTok. you might not have seen it yet.
What is it?
It's this guy. His name is DeAndre Brown. He's like goes by like the corporate baddie.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I love you.
Okay, but he made this video the other day that everybody has been talking about. He's basically saying that when you go to a birthday dinner, that whoever's birthday it is, they should be paying the total bill.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the bill comes, they're paying for everybody.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't agree with that.
So people are upset because they don't agree, or they're upset because
they don't agree. There's some people who do agree, and they're like, "Oh, if you broke, just say that." But it's like when you go to dinner, like if I invited 10 of my friends to dinner and I paid for everybody, that's like $1,000 bill, easy.
Oh,
like with your meal and a drink.
Oh yeah.
But I just feel like when you, as an adult, like when we were kids. Yeah, our parents were paying for the bill if we had a birthday dinner. Like, I'm pretty sure I had a birthday dinner and, like, my parents foot the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when we were children. We're adults now.
Yeah.
But he's saying, he's like, it's the same thing as you if you invite somebody to a birthday party that you're throwing at your house. And I'm like, it's not, though.
Yeah, I feel like I do think that's, like, an old school way of thinking, though, of, like, if you invite someone, they're on your tab.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an old school thing. But I don't think, like, with the economy that we're in right now, or the other side of it, if I was rich, like, if I just had all the money in the world, yeah, I would foot the bill. Why not?
I know. That's how I feel. Like, I want to be in a place where I can invite my friends to dinner and, like, yeah.
And foot the bill.
Yeah, or my man does that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's not where most people are right
now. Yeah, he's got to be kind of, like, in his own world if he thinks everybody's in a place. Otherwise, what? You can't celebrate your birthday?
Right. Like, what's the alternative? Because I feel like, for birthdays at least, it's like either you go to dinner or you go on a trip. Mm-hmm. Or you throw something at your house.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, like, that's even, like, saying if I invited you on my birthday trip, what, I'm supposed to pay for everything?
Oh, yeah, that's...
Like, I feel like that's what you're saying. And so some people brought up this topic tough. That I know a lot of people have been talking about, of when influencers... like your favorite influencer blows up to a certain extent, that they lose sight of like reality. And they stop being the person, the relatable person that you grew to be influenced by and to love.
That's real talk.
Because what they were saying, that he's being kind of classist by saying that. And like,
yeah,
bro, like you may be able to do that, but everybody can't do that.
I mean, right. And your title is corporate baddie, which to me means I'm making like less than six figures.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the corporate world. And right. So, and like TikTok users, like his audience is so young that it.
Right.
I see what you're saying of like, know your audience. Most of your audience can't do that. Right. So you are going to piss off 90% of people that watch your videos.
Right. Like the whole reason I saw his video was other people stitching it being like, no. Like,
you're wrong.
You're wrong, actually. They were like, this is the first time I disagree with you. And I, most of his videos that I've seen, like, I'm like, yeah. But this ain't it. This not the one.
Yeah.
What do y'all think? Would you do that? Like, what? Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of, yeah, I'm footing the bill? Or are you on the side of, because some people were also saying, like, most times we go on a birthday dinner, the birthday person does not pay. Like, everybody else pays for their meal and their drink.
That's true,
split
it
between everybody else.
Yeah.
It's never them, like, I don't know. What are y'all's thoughts? Because I want to know.
It's so, like, I feel like it's all, like, these made up rules of what you're supposed to do, but ultimately it's your birthday, so you should do what you, like, what makes you comfortable.
Right. Or, like, if I know that most of my friends are on a budget, like, and that also plays in the part of where I pick to go to dinner. Like, if I know everybody's on a budget, I'm not going to pick Perry Steakhouse.
Like, well, you know how it is, though. I feel like each person has a different perspective about their birthday. Like, some people like, I'm catering to y'all. And some people are like, this is my
moment.
It's
about me, right? So, and then there's people, like, I feel like us, we're, like, in the middle.
Yeah.
So, anywho, that's why I was like,
I don't know.
I don't know about that one. I do not agree. But, okay, let's get into the chapter. Yeah.
I love the title of this. We went into it a little bit last week, but the title is, yes, I have free time because I don't have kids.
Purr.
I mean,
me too, right?
Yeah. It's like, do I have free time? I do.
We have a shit ton of free time that goes to waste most of the time.
Not scrolling on TikTok.
But anyway, do you want to start us off?
Funny. Yeah, I'll start off with the beginning.
Okay.
At the beginning, like, I'm gonna start somewhere else.
The middle?
Phoebe's, like, talking about her childhood and how her best friend is a little headless doll named Wednesday Addams. Well, not named Wednesday Addams, but
she's like Wednesday Addams.
She gives, herself this little nickname of, like, Wednesday Addams because she really is carrying around this doll that looks like it should have been in the grave, you know, years back.
But I feel like we all did that. Like, the amount of times I popped off a Barbie head on accident, but still kept her.
Yeah. She's just a little headless over there. She's fine. She's rolling around.
Halloween time, she was the headless horseman. It's fine. It's really fine.
No, yeah. And she talks about, like, back in the day when we used to play MASH.
Which I remember we talked about that in an episode, I think, like, early season two.
Of MASH.
Maybe late season one.
Yeah,
we had this conversation where it was like, did you play MASH? And we're like, yeah.
We all did.
We all played MASH. And I saw your question in the notes where it was like, do kids play games anymore?
Yeah, because that was one of her things. I was going to ask you because you have some younger siblings.
Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, they play video games. But then I was like, no, Amaya's played MASH before. Like, she told
me. The oldest one.
Yeah, but she's like, she's going
to
kill me.
I was about
to say. She's 14.
I was about to say anymore as in, like, the young ones.
Well, I don't, when did you, I feel like we didn't start playing MASH until, like, middle school.
Yeah, like elementary school.
Like seventh grade was like the first time I played MASH, which honestly, if you told me let's play MASH right now, I wouldn't remember how to play.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't, because it's like a certain amount of times you go around and then like you pick that one and then you go around again and then you pick that one and that's how you get your full portfolio of whatever it is.
Not the full portfolio.
It's like you're going to be in a mansion married to Michael B. Jordan with an Audi Q7 or like some shit like that. I don't even remember
with
how to play it anymore.
Kids. With 18 kids. Right? A shack for a house. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like, okay. And then it's like, wait.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I don't like this.
I didn't sign up for this one.
Oh,
but
man.
But it just took me back, like, being a kid. And I guess she kind of just, I guess, is leading into this idea of she wanted to be a mom. Like, she really did care about her little baby doll. And that's just the, I guess, the formula that's given to you as a kid. It's like, when you grow up, you find your prince charming and then you like start a family and, you know, she's just like part of that. Yeah. She's part of that thinking and like that process. And
but she's finding she's not, though, all at the same time.
Right.
Because like all of these things lead her to be like, oh, yeah, I want to be a mom. But then you have that realization of maybe I don't want to be a mom, actually.
Yeah, like it's actually not as ideal as it sounds. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot that comes with it.
Yeah.
And she starts to list it. Like,
yeah, oh yeah, she goes list by list. And like what's really funny is I did this too when I was like, oh, like, I, like, well, some of it I still stand with my thoughts now.
Okay.
But some of it I'm like, it's kind of not realistic.
Like what?
Like, I used to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, like, exercise and bounce back and da-da-da-da-da, when it's like, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's not realistic to say that this is going to happen, like, overnight, like, a few months later.
That, well, that's, like, such a misconception.
It is, because I feel like, again, influencers, there are some who portray that, like, oh, you can bounce back and da-da-da-da-da. But I like the rise of the mommy influencers who are like, no. Like, here's my postpartum stomach, like, a month later.
Yeah.
Like, it's not realistic that it's just gonna go back to how it used to be the next day after you give birth or something, you know?
Yeah, I don't like that there's that, like, expectation that you're supposed to go back to looking the way you used to. Like, maybe you don't want to.
Yeah,
maybe you love the way your body changed.
Right. And I feel like it's forked down our throats of like, no, you can go back. It's going to be okay. And like,
right,
whatever. Which, I mean, I personally do have that fear of like, but I think it's because I've had body image issues and body dysmorphia of like gaining all the mom weight and the pregnancy weight and then not being able to lose it.
Yeah.
But there's so
That's like
many.
Normal.
Right. That, because I feel like you're losing a part of yourself that you've known for so long.
Yeah, it's almost like mourning the loss of your old self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful. And everyone talks about how their heart expanded to a place where they never thought possible.
And it's natural, which
all
of these things are true, but
but there's so much that comes with it.
Yeah, like it's a mental thing too, being
so
a mom.
Much.
Like being a girl is not easy. And then especially being a pregnant woman, like even to get pregnant is not as easy as people like to
that
make
part.
It seem like, oh, you're going to have sex and now you're going to be pregnant. No. It's a whole, like, you can't, and there's this misconception, you can get pregnant any time of the month. No, there's, like, a certain window where you are fertile. Like, there's so much science and all these things that when you get older, you're like, oh.
Yeah, and they don't really explain that.
At all.
It's like, I wish in, like, sex ed, I had been told something about, like, ovulation and how that works and I think it would have been less scary to, like, have sex if I knew, like, oh, you're not immediately going to get pregnant the next day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I just feel like we're all, like, at that younger age learning from our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know. Our friends don't know. We don't know. And some of us don't feel comfortable talking to our parents about these things because of whatever stigma. Them looking at you like you're fast because you're a woman and you're not supposed to grow up too fast and it's your special flower. And it's just
all
like,
these scare they're scare tactics. That's what it is.
It's so much. And I just feel like no one is honest about the truth of like sex is just sex. This is this. This is what happens in your body when you have sex. Like, just give us the facts.
Yeah, because I feel like it is a choice. And so if you know all the facts going into it, you can make the better choices that you feel that comfortable with. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It seems like easy enough, but
people make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff that she talks about was one of the ones that I was thinking about the other day was PTA and like helping your kids with their homework. Like, I'm not trying to learn algebra again.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting tutors. Because I can't do it.
Y'all gonna figure it out.
It's gonna be that thing of Johnny had 4 apples.
Lord, I just pray that they're good at math. Same.
Pray they're good at math. So yeah, so just the societal views in general on motherhood and just being like, oh, like it's just such a beautiful like rite of passage as a woman. And it's like,
you don't have to do it to be a woman.
It does not. It's not like a test.
It's not. You're not a more womanly woman just because you want kids. Like,
yeah.
Good for you. You want to be stressed out and like tied down to a kid who like can't even take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Like,
it's an economic decision.
Like, why are we so like, oh, it's so beautiful? No, this is like serious.
Be fucking for real.
This is serious. Are you prepared to deal with their mental issues if they have them? Which, I mean, according to statistics, we all have them. Like, yeah, we're living in, like, unprecedented times, guys.
I feel like it's just unprecedented because more and more people are like, yeah, me too. And because it just wasn't talked about before. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, society views on motherhood versus reality. Okay, so this next point, I wanted you to talk about the viewing women as I can't even say that word that you wrote.
Oh, a monolith.
I'd never heard of that word. What does that mean?
It just means like you look at women as one thing.
Oh.
So you meet one woman who's selfish and a gold digger. And you're like, all women.
Oh my gosh, I hate those people. It's like,
yeah.
Oh my, wait. So I was on Hinge the other day.
Oh.
And there was this dude. And in his there were so many red flags, but one of his things was changed my mind about the women of this generation. And I was like, here we fucking go. I was like, nope.
Goodbye. Good riddance.
because
if you think you know all women, I'm sorry, but you just exposed your ass. You don't know even one woman. Because I feel like so many of these people who see women as like just this one thing, like don't have any women that they like have deep relationships with.
Mm, or maybe they're not capable.
But it's like,
either way.
Yeah, either way. And it's just, I don't understand it because we as women are so different.
But if it's like in our genetics, low key. Because
to like be against each other, or like, what do you mean?
Like men and women be against each other?
Yeah.
No, I feel like we see things differently because we are women than men see some things.
But like, even within us as women, we all see stuff so differently.
But I feel like there's just this commonality of women. Like we all have our different opinions and views and whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I could come to you with something and all women would be like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And that a man does.
Oh.
That is like very common among men. Like, even though they're all different.
Right.
I feel like there are things that are common among women and that are common among men.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means you villainize it.
Yeah.
Or like say, oh, they're all like that.
Well, yeah.
It's like, okay, they might have a hint of that. But what you gonna do? Are you gonna be like, oh, well, nope, sorry, gotta go.
That part, because if you can do that to gender, like you can do that to race, and like it's just a rabbit hole of toxicity.
Mm-hmm. When it's just like, just try to understand.
Yeah, like,
communicate.
Yeah, talk to them.
Listen. That's the big one too.
Yeah, listen.
I mean, talking is important because you have to start the conversation. But then listening afterwards is
that
super
part.
Important.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so we kind of already talked about that too, the rise of of the incels and influencers. Who's Andrew Tate?
Oh, he's like the incel king.
Okay, also, what is... I'm learning so many things. What does that mean?
Incel is just involuntary celibate.
Oh.
So a lot of these men who are, like, fans of Andrew Tate, which he's gotten really popular.
Like, I've heard the name, but I don't know who he is.
I don't really subscribe to him or, like, even know much about him. But I've just been, like, kind of interested in this whole masculine, toxic masculinity thing lately. And he's, like, very much the epitome of it. Some other names you may know are, like, Joe Rogan. Just these, like, hyper-masculine, like...
Yeah.
They basically... Well, Andrew Tate, like, tells men... And I need to do my own research, so y'all do your own research. Don't take what I'm saying, like, as gospel. But from what I know, he's basically telling men, like, women are all greedy at their core and just want you for your money. So, don't, like, it doesn't matter if you're nice to them. They're all just here for your money. So, like, get your money up, king, and then you can have any woman you want. And it's very much like, I'm the man. I'm going to do, like, the providing and the protecting, and you stay home and you do the feminine things, and I'm supposed to be all the way over here and you're supposed to be all the way over there, and there's no middle ground and there's no, like, partnership, and it's just very, like, anti.
Yeah, like, run.
Yeah.
Like, any woman who, well, I shouldn't say any, because there's some women who would be, like, fine with that. Right, if you're into that. You know.
Do you?
But I feel like most aren't. So I see what you're saying by incel.
It's just like these people who, like, got their heart broken one time.
And take it out on everybody.
Or had a bad relationship with their mom. And cannot see past.
Yeah. 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 You hate to see it. I saw you put this note about...
It's an epidemic.
It is an epidemic. I saw you put this note about Phoebe's use of her footnotes to... I love the footnotes in this book, y'all.
It's so funny.
They keep me cackling. They're so funny.
She literally just will, like, go off on a tangent.
Right in the footnotes. So anyway, if you have the book, there's a really good footnote on 26 that's really funny. And there's another one, I think, further down, too. We'll probably get to it eventually. Okay, so modern womanhood is expanding. It is. You love to see it. And we're on 27, if you're following along. Let me see what she said. Still discourse over what it should look like to be a mother and a wife. Oh, and you talk about mommy bloggers.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, I guess, I don't know. It's like an interesting time. For mothers, I feel like they're getting all this recognition for, like, postpartum depression and, you know, not losing the baby weight and, like, these things that are, like, how Elaine is having these mommy blog talks type things on her story. And, like, I just feel like that is such a big thing of these mothers who are trying to do motherhood differently than the way it's been.
The traditional norm of motherhood.
Exactly. And so part of that is, like, the fact that they are able to express themselves freely and can do it on, you know, a large platform where they're going viral or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just ran into this, like, kind of black hole on TikTok. So I do it, too.
She said, I'm in here, too.
I do it. I waste time, too, guys.
I'm sick.
But, yeah. Okay, so there's these moms who are, like, just going viral by talking shit about their no-good husband. Or, like, how they are losing their mind being a mom. And things like that, that it's, like, normalizing that.
Yeah, like, not the cookie-cutter mom that everybody's used to seeing in, like, movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
But, like,
super the happy real, to be here.
Yeah, like, the real nitty-gritty, like, this shit, it sucks that I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to take my kids to school type thing. I've seen that, too.
Right, and, like, my man's at work or, like, on the golf course and I'm just stuck here and, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, where's the line of, like, okay, like, express yourself, but then are you just pushing out toxic content about being a mom and like being drunk on the job? Like, you are still on the job in a way, you know what I mean?
Are you talking about like the ones where it's like the mom brings like tequila, like a margarita in her like tumbler to the kids' soccer game or whatever?
Yeah, it's
which
like
I think it's hilarious because
it is funny, but are we normalizing like being,
I was about to say, choose your words wisely.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I saw one woman being like, this is not okay. Like,
I do think there's a line, like not being tipsy or drunk at your kid's soccer game. But I feel like usually one drink isn't going to get you there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, just a little whatever, buzz, whatever.
But like when you're joking about drinking the whole bottle while taking care of your kid, it's like,
I see what you're saying.
Is it okay?
I don't think it's normalizing it as a regular thing. I think it's just like an extreme.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of TikTok videos are. It's never like I never take a TikTok most of the time, but something like that to face value. It's like expressing the severity of it. Like, oh, fuck, like I need this whole goddamn bottle. But it's like, you know, they're not going to drink the whole bottle.
Yeah.
But I think it is that level of understanding and
it's just like interesting mentally to me. And I wonder, like, where does race get involved? Is it okay to do it if you're a pretty blonde white woman who's wealthy versus if you're a low income woman of color who's a mom who's like working two jobs? It's like irresponsible to like be making a TikTok like that.
I'm like drinking a whole bottle of tequila.
I just wonder, like, would they use that in court against you?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. Like,
it's okay.
Is it okay for them to do it as a joke, but it's not okay for these sets of people to do?
Because there's
a
lot of things like that. Where it's
no, that's
like,
true.
That's some white people shit. Because it's like, I'm not going to risk, you know, it's like, I've got to cross my T's, dot my I's, and I'm not about to joke about being a bad mom when Lucy down the street's already looking at me because I got my, like, two black sons over here and their friends, and they're like, looking for something to, like, to get to me.
I don't know. I feel like that is just fuck it, because people are going to judge you regardless. No matter who you are and what you do, like you said,
that's
they're true. All Lucy down the street's already looking at me because I'm like, I don't know, a middle class mom and a two parent household
trying to make ends meet,
whatever.
Yeah,
I just feel like I wouldn't go that deep into it. I like, and maybe that's a naive of me to say like it's not that deep, but maybe it is that deep.
It's always that deep, guys.
Yeah, sometimes it's not that deep.
Sometimes
I think
it is.
Sometimes it is, but I think with some. I see what you're saying. Like, some of these TikToks, like, the parents are going very extreme. Because I don't know if you've seen the one. Her name's Brittany Jade. She's a mom, blog, influencer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband did this prank that was going around on TikTok and was a trend of you say some outlandish shit that's, like, not true to try to get your kids to get on board with. And you tell them that, oh, we're going to win a car. We're trying to win a carnival cruise. Like, we're going to, like, just follow along.
starting out interesting.
And I'm pretty sure her sons are twins.
Okay.
And basically they were like on camera being like, yeah, the boys have been through a lot. Like they had a third, like another brother that was lost before, like when they were born or something like that. Like
what?
Basically joking about child loss. And you could see the boys being like, wait, what?
That's not funny.
It's not. And so apparently she had the video up for like 10 minutes, but then immediately took it down because it got immediate backlash. Like, this isn't funny. This isn't cool to joke about. And she did this whole apology video that was bullshit. And it was victim blaming. And it was bad.
That
it was
sounds
bad.
Terrible.
Because some people were like, oh, like, give her a break. Like, she already apologized. She knows what she did is wrong. Da 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 da. But it's just like, when you're making a TikTok, like, before you even post it, you have to watch it back at least 3 or 5 times to, like, edit it.
That's
and, like, you have
like
to
psychopath.
So it's like
behavior.
You watched this multiple times and still said, yes, this is okay to post. And it's like, now that's going to the extreme and doing the most. And that is, like, not okay.
It's crazy.
You're losing touch of reality because you're trying for likes and views.
I feel like that's a lot of moms. And I guess that's really all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's like going too far.
Yeah, it's like, why are you using your children? It, to me, it's the same as like having, being the mom of a child star or a parent of a child star. Mm-hmm. Like, why do it?
I mean, I feel like there's a way to do it right. Like, there's a way for these moms to be on TikTok with their children.
There is, but I just feel like so many people.
But it's like, what are you going to
do,
though?
Do too much.
It's like, we can say you're doing too much, but people are going to do what they want to do at the end of the day.
It just brings me back, though, to, like, this idea of, like, being the perfect mom mm-hmm. and how people are going to judge you. Like, you are taking care of, like, a baby, like a human child.
Yeah.
Who's going to grow up one day and be an adult, and it just, it scares me.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like it goes back to the people who are supporting those people who are taking it too far. It's like they're only gaining traction based on how we react to it. So at the end of the day, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, I just don't support it. Like, I just don't watch it. I don't interact with their videos. Like, whatever. So, yeah. Because it's going to happen. Like, anything else. It's just knowing where the line is.
Yeah.
So.
That's real talk.
Yeah. Okay. Stop invalidating women who choose not to have children. Celebrate instead the right they have to choose. And so it reminded me of this episode of Sex and the City. I don't know if you'll remember, where Carrie went to her friend's child's like birthday party or whatever, and they had to take off their shoes.
Yes.
And then the shoes got lost, and they were like $400 shoes, and the mom was like, you know, what, like, why did you buy such expensive shoes? Like, blaming her and then making her feel invalidated for being like single and whatever. And then Carrie made the registry about celebrating her singleness and made her buy her the shoes.
And she did. It was a nice.
And she did. I think it was a really important episode that, like, obviously I still remember now of, like, being, like, basically going back to this, the idea of, like, oh, if you're not a mom and having children and having a family and da-da-da-da-da, like, your singleness is not important.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
That's so true. Yeah,
like, let's still celebrate me, even though I'm not hitting those milestones that you think I should be hitting. Like, I'm still happy, though.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
It's just crazy how we project so much onto people. Because it's like, just because I'm a mom, I feel like you have to be, like, living frugally. And it's like,
yeah,
but you're not a mom. So, like, take your perspective out of it and just, like, recognize the differences in your situation and the fact that nobody's wrong. Like, we're all just living how we want to live.
Yeah. That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day.
That's real talk.
Okay. Next topic. Oh, yeah. When she says, I want to be a mama. That's a no for me, dog. We kind of talked about this already. The formula of, like, go to college, get a job, find the man, get the kids, get the house. But Phoebe's having this, like, awakening of, that's just not for me. And having a conversation with British Bake Off, her current boyfriend, she sees herself having a long-term relationship with, but is afraid that one day he's going to, like, wake up and be like, oh, I do want kids, actually, after being like, nah, I don't want kids. But then realizing that it's a simple conversation of being like, hey.
Just being honest.
Yeah, being open and honest about that. Okay, I skipped ahead a little bit, though, because you did have some good notes here when she's talking about her life in New York. It just did not look anything like the traditional route.
Yeah. And I can relate to her, like, getting on Facebook and seeing, you know, just, like, creeping on people and seeing what's everybody up to. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of it is the cookie cutter stuff.
So like, they just got engaged. Oh, they're getting married. Oh, they just bought a house. Or they're having a baby.
Exactly.
And you look at yourself and you're like, I'm nowhere near that.
No house, no kids, no wedding. No. And it's like, am I behind?
Right.
And that's kind of where she's at. So,
am I behind?
But she's also doing so much.
Yeah, like, she's literally working towards her dream, which is that thing that should be celebrated. It shouldn't be this constant thing of you go to family dinners and it's like, oh, you didn't bring anybody home? Or who are you dating right now? Or what's the timeline?
I'm dating my job.
Yeah, I'm dating my career.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get it together.
The thing that will give me, like, they will, I think, I just feel like your career gives back to you in a way that, like, children will not.
Yeah.
At least it's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
You may have the best kid in the world and they may like just take you on trips all the rest of your life. Like your 401k could be your child.
Yeah.
But it's just not guaranteed. So it's like you shouldn't really put that pressure on them. Like, oh, yeah, you're my retirement plan type thing.
What do you mean by that, though?
Of like, I just feel like a lot of people want their kids to, like, be this person.
Oh, like, when you have a kid, you're like, okay, now you have to do this and then take like, care of me.
Yeah, like, look at what all I life. Sacrificed
for you.
And it's like, just invest in your career then, if that's how you are. Because your career will usually give back in the sense that it's going to pay you. And if you work hard, you'll probably get promoted. You'll probably continue to grow, get money.
Yeah.
But your kid's just gonna suck from you. It's just gonna suck money. So like,
I'm so weak.
If your goal is to get rich and get money, like, then kids just, it's not the goal.
Yeah, that's true.
That I mean, you can do both.
You can do. That's the other thing, though. It's like you can do both. But I do think of that thing of people having kids and not realizing the true responsibility of having a child.
Yeah.
I think that's the real problem.
It's expensive.
It is expensive. It is a financial obligation.
Yes. Kudos and so, to you. We're raising the next generation, guys.
I'm so weak. That topic of she feels like a failure sometimes, even like we feel like failures sometimes, even when we're doing everything we'd said we'd do and more.
Right.
And the fear of not having a soulmate because you don't want kids and just second guessing and regrets and feeling damaged. And all of these things that we as women go through and the thoughts that we have to have. Like I've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Where it's like biologically, having a child, like, after you turn 35 and having a gestational pregnancy, like, it's a real thing. Like, yes, it's going to be harder, but it's not impossible either.
Yeah.
So having that timeline of, oh, my gosh, like, it all has to happen before I turn 35 or, like, before this, it's like, it's a valid concern, but also it's possible.
It's possible.
And there's adoption and fostering and all the there's options.
Yeah.
Basically.
You have options.
Okay, so I see you said, do you think that you could change your mind about wanting kids? Does it depend on the partner?
Yeah, and I was wondering that because you know how she's like she was scared to tell her partner that she doesn't want kids in case he switched up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know this is like the past and you've grown from this, Phoebe, but like if he did decide he wanted kids, to me, like it's a conversation, you know? Yeah. It's not like he'd be like, oh, she doesn't want to have kids. I'm leaving yesterday. Like if he changed his mind, you'd be like, babe, like you're the person I want to see for the rest of my life. Do you think you could change your mind about having kids? Is it something that you would be open to doing, like, if it wasn't you being pregnant? Like, it's like a conversation that I feel like should be something that you can be open and honest with your partner about.
Mm-hmm.
But for Phoebe to wait so long out of fear and, like, tiptoeing around it.
Yeah, and, like, for context, they, like, moved in together and then kind of had this real conversation.
And it wasn't she says, even don't a do. Real conversation.
It
was like, I don't even know where it is.
But it's on 36.
I'm 36.
Yeah, because that's where the other footnote is. When she literally says, why do so many couples do this? When discussing whether to merge their two LLCs, aka move in together, they'll spend hours deciding between Verizon or Spectrum as their future service provider and negative 28 minutes figuring out big picture items such as if they want a family. Y'all, please have the hard talks before cohabitation. Otherwise, you risk unnecessary heartbreak when you realize you two aren't on the same page. And by the way, you keep having those talks throughout your relationship.
That part.
People change, and so does what they want. Yeah. So I think to your point of like, you know, now obviously, like, they've moved in at this point, but he's vocalized, like, I don't want to have children. I don't see myself being a father. But they've never, like, really had the conversation until now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if he did do that thing of, like, oh, wait, psych, I do want to have kids. It's just, it's another conversation.
Right.
And people do change. And yeah. I feel like as much as it would suck, like, if she's very much headstrong, like, I do not see kids in my yeah. life, which a lot of, like, there's a larger number of people who do this than, like, is shown and portrayed.
I agree.
Which is why I'm really glad that she hit on this topic, because yeah. she is one of those people who it's like, I just don't see it for me. And I don't want it. And who knows? That could even change for her.
Yeah, it could change tomorrow.
Right. She'd be like, you know what? Actually, one won't hurt.
Yeah.
And then she's going to have that conversation with him. Like, you know, it's a
back and forth.
It's a back and forth. But I love how she hits on the fact that it's more frowned upon on women to have this point of view Ooh. Than it is for men to have this point of view. And, like, you know, we talked about the careers and how it's encouraged for a man to, like, oh yeah, go get your career, find yourself, da 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 da. Don't worry about kids and all that stuff. That can come later. It's fine.
Wow.
But for women, it's very much pressured, like, as soon as we get out of school, okay, find your man, get pregnant, have your babies.
Yeah.
So no, I do love how she hits on that, because I don't think it's a conversation that enough people have. Mm. And then to have that representation, if you are one of those people who don't see kids in your future, like, knowing there are other people like you more than you think
yeah.
who are in the same boat as you. So I really like how she highlighted that for sure.
I agree.
Okay. Pow. We hit a lot in that one little thing. Okay, 42. You said that's your favorite quote. Which quote is in the chapter?
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, I thought this was so, so good. It says on kind of the bottom of 42,
mm-hmm.
she said, I needed to diagnose my shortcomings as a woman. Let me tell you something. It's tiresome and painful to constantly poke and prod at yourself in the hopes of finding proof of your brokenness that you can offer up as penance to every person you see, as if self-hatred and shame are somehow a sufficient payment for one's childless time on earth, as if self-hatred and shame should somehow be acceptable armor in order to get through a conversation.
Yeah.
And I loved that, because I feel like as women, we will do this thing where we, like, make fun of ourselves so that other people won't do it
before us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll, like, call ourselves, like, a lazy piece of shit, or, like, a fat slob, or anything that mm-hmm. we call ourselves, so that, like, I guess it's, like, some sort of, like, a shield, which is
it's
really
like getting
weird.
Ahead of it.
Yeah, because yeah, it's not even a shield. It's like you're, like, digging into your own, like, skin.
Yeah, it's, it reminded me of Pitch Perfect, where Fat Amy calls herself Fat Amy. She's like, so skinny bitches like you, like, can't take the power of that from me, so I call myself Fat Amy.
Yes, of, like, us reclaiming this power, but it's, like, this really twisted way of doing it where mm-hmm. you're actually speaking this negative energy onto yourself.
Yeah.
And it also makes, in my opinion, the other people in the conversation really uncomfortable.
Oh, yes. I get very uncomfortable, because I'm just like, but I don't see you as that, even though that's what you think I see you as, because that's what society has made you think that I see you as. Like, mm-hmm. that's not the reality of the situation most of the time.
Yeah, and it's like you feel like you have to say something to, like, make the other person feel better about, and I think that it's, like, almost this, like, weird cycle of, like, this person is trying to get ahead of the insult, but by insulting themselves, they end up, like, being in this weird place where I feel like it's almost like fishing for compliments.
I
think it goes both ways. Like, some people have the like side of them that kind of wants to, like, extract the, like, sympathy or the compliment side of it. Mm-hmm. And then other people just want, like, to disappear and, like, not talk about it at all. So mm-hmm. they're just, like, saying it to, like, get it off the table and, like, we're moving on
and move
now.
On. Yeah.
So it's just, like, overall, I just want women to be comfortable in our skin. And I think that it's, like, a journey.
Mm-hmm.
But
for sure,
from now on, guys, let's not talk stuff onto ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't shame yourself.
Which is very much easier said than done, especially when you deal with things like body dysmorphia and all those. Because I, you know, I've been on that journey of like being able to look in the mirror and being like, oh, you look good. Like, I look hot. And it's like some days are easier than others. So like you said, it is a journey. And I feel like as much as I want to say like, yeah, don't do that, like be positive and da 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 da, it's like, it's one of those things that sometimes it's easier said than done. But I think it is good to like reaffirm like, but no, but still like that's the goal to get to that point.
Yeah. And I feel like you don't even have to be positive, but like just, I feel like the minimum is like just not shitting on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, that's true.
Like, so. I'm not saying you got to be like, I'm the baddest bee in the world if you don't feel like that. But, like, if you feel like shit, keep that to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to say, like, I'm a piece of shit. You can say, like, I feel like a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. But to, like, call yourself names and put that on yourself, it's like you end up making people see you as that. It's like, I wasn't looking at you like that. But now that's what I'm walking away from this conversation thinking is like,
oh. That's how you see yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that like informs my opinion of this other person.
And how they see themselves.
Yeah.
All those things. Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's just, it's a two-sided thing.
It's hard. It is hard, guys. Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy, but...
Just don't, you're just like, please don't do that.
Please. Like, please, it's not, it breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm, like, it's not cute. It's not cool. Because I think some people it's do not it for funny. That, too. They're like, oh, ha, ha, ha. It's like, no, it's not funny.
I guess it is a kind of humor.
It, first, and some people, it can be, like, kind of like say, a dark humor.
Yeah, let me not, because, yeah, I can just disengage.
Yeah.
Because it like, maybe it just triggers me.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe it's something, like, for you that you're, like, no, I don't want that type of energy around me. But for some people, it is comforting.
They might be like, hey.
Yeah, and, like, they are truly okay with it, and they're okay with shitting on themselves like that.
Yeah. If you want to do it, then I guess it's different.
Yeah, it's just, like, but I think there is a way of doing it, like, that makes people genuinely uncomfortable when you, like, it's a gift that think of taking shit too far.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, comedians who do it, and I'm like, they did build a whole career off of it.
Yeah, so. They're like, fuck it, I'm a rat.
Like Fat Amy.
Fat Amy.
Who is no longer fat, so she's still Fat Amy?
I think it was just a character type thing. So it's like, yes, because the character, whatever.
Oh, it was a character.
Yeah, it wasn't like her in real life, like Rebel Wilson.
Oh. Y'all, see, in my head, Rebel Wilson was Fat Amy.
And, oh, you like put the two together.
I knew her as her character. Because I don't really know her from anything else.
Yeah, I really know her just from Pitch. She did have that Netflix movie that came out like last year or whatever, where she was like the high school cheerleader who like went into a coma and woke up and she was like 40. Yeah, I forget what it's called though.
I did not see that. I missed that one, Rebel. Miss Wilson.
I'm so weak. Okay, so the last thing that she brings up is the baby boomers that came from World War II.
That was so interesting.
Right? Because like I knew some of this, but I didn't. Because she says, also, while women of all races and socioeconomic classes are typically expected to be mothers, American history has shown us that the mandate to have children for the social, political, economic, and yes, racial benefit of this nation was a specific directive for white women, better known as pronationalism. It was not a concept promoted to women of color. In fact, quite the opposite happened as the bodies of women of color were violated in order to maintain white dominance, which we're seeing again today with Roe v. Wade.
Yes, 100%.
Like, but history it's always cyclical. Is repeating itself. So,
I agree. Scary stuff, guys.
It is very scary stuff. And she says, while I've spent the majority of my adult life trying to figure out why there wasn't a dull ache in my heart because I didn't want to have children, my boyfriend has not. When he's asked if he wants to be a father, he simply says, no, I've always known I didn't want to be a father. No one has follow-up questions. Like that thing we were talking about, like, oh, a man says that, cool. But with women, it's just not the same thing. It's just...
rude.
It's rude. It is rude. It's like, can you chill? Can I live my life? Like it's golden.
Leave me alone.
Literally leave me alone. Okay.
That's kind of like, I think, the chapter.
For real, though. But basically, the moral of the story is, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You control your own life, your fate, your destiny, all of those things. And, like, I really like how she ends it. She says, I write this so you don't have to feel alone or cry yourself to sleep because you've been conditioned to feel like not being a mother means you are a failure. Incapable of love, incapable of making the world better than it was before you entered it. I write this so women can free themselves from the pain and anguish of feeling like they don't know how to be a person. You are a person. You are worthy. You are whole. You are healing while you are whole. You are recovering from every comment, snide remark, and hurtful attack on your womanhood. I see the scars and they are healing. And after the healing is over, you can go on living or start living for the first time the life you've dreamed of for yourself.
Yes.
Period. Which I really so like good. How she wrote this book. Like, it's serious, but it's still funny. Yeah. All at the same time. Like, you have that kind of comic relief.
Yeah, she's really good at this whole essay thing.
Yes, and I'm really enjoying the essays component of it, too. So,
I agree.
Once again, Phoebe, we are enjoying reading this book. The next chapter, or essay, I should say, is Guide to Being a Boss from someone who has been building a mini empire for the past 2 years and counting. Which I was like, please, let us know, because that's literally what we're doing right now.
Tell us your secrets.
Literally, tell us your trade secrets. And y'all tell us about what you thought about this chapter. What are your thoughts on some of the topics that we talked about? Or really just anything. Email us at shewellread@gmail.com. Follow us on all the things. And yeah, we'll see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.